what can I call the title today? Maybe it's called Little Sayings or Proverbs That Help Us. And do you know any little sayings or proverbs? There's something about putting the cart before the horse. Anyone heard of that one? He's put the cart before the horse, probably meaning something like you're doing things in the wrong order. You're doing a job, you're doing it in the wrong order. Closing the stable door after the horse has bolted or run. Yeah. You're taking action when it's too late. That's another saying. I don't know if you know these sayings, but you probably know this one. Too many cooks spoil the broth. Yeah. Everyone's having... Well, too many cooks spoil the broth, and then you have too many chiefs and not enough Indians. That's like too. So you can counteract one with another. So you got these are sayings that perhaps you've heard or use, and they have a little meaning, don't they? A little meaning tucked in there. You can lead a horse to water, and a pencil is always made of lead. Have you heard that one? No, you haven't heard that one. That's a Stan Laurel one off Laurel and Hardy. Yeah? So if you watch all the Laurel and Hardy, see if you ever find that one. That's too mixed together, because he'd often do that, you know, mix two sayings together and make a complete mess of it. It should be raining cats and dogs. I don't know where that comes from. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. That's the real saying. So you can go so far with helping someone, but you can't actually do it for them. Many hands make light work. Don't look a gift horse in the mouth. Have you heard that one? Yeah, don't look a gift. Someone gives you a gift. Don't sort of, I don't think much of that, and analyze it as if you're about to buy it. Someone's giving it to you. Yeah. Oh, that's a didn't know that one.
Tough times never last, but tough people do.
Oh, there you go. So the hang on. Okay. Those are sayings, don't they? We use them all the time, don't we? And you know, we throw them in, perhaps when we see something, and we just chuck a little saying in there. And I remember my mum used to tell some little sayings, and I think some were like African sayings and not. And a little story that I remember her telling was, there's a mother rabbit said to the baby rabbit, or young rabbit, her little one, don't stray too far from the entrance to where we live. Don't go beyond that tree. And so the little rabbit would go out and play. It's not really a saying, but it's a little story, a little meaning. And the little rabbit went out and ventured further and further and further. And one day, a fox got the little rabbit. And someone bought the ears to Mum and said, I think these belong to you, your son's ears. It's an African story, hang on. And Mum says, they're not my son's, mine didn't have any ears. To get the meaning, he wouldn't listen. So there was a little story, a proverb that would be, a little proverb of not listening. And then another one, the last squirrel gets its tail burnt. Last squirrel into the hole in the tree gets his tail burnt. That's as a bushfire. And the last, they'd all run home. And the last one then gets his tail burnt. And the early bird gets the worm. Little stories, yeah. That we have, that we sort of throw in when it suits us, probably. And I've been reading through Proverbs. That's one of the books in the Bible that's made up of saying after saying after saying. So you read one chapter, and each verse is a set of sayings. And they're wise sayings and godly sayings. And they're usually comparing wisdom with foolishness, comparison of the two, wisdom and foolishness. Love and faithfulness with wickedness, or righteousness with wickedness. And these are things to guide people through life. So they were sayings that, and where they kind of start off, if you start reading Proverbs, it starts with, it's like a dad talking to his son, and he says, "Listen, son, and let me tell you some things." And then he goes on. And these are sayings to try and give that son some understanding, some guidance through life. And we have come here. One of the reasons we come on a Sunday morning is perhaps to get some teaching and guidance from a godly point of view. Because you can get teaching and guidance of all sorts, can't you? But when you come here, we're hoping to receive some godly input into your lives, into our lives. And so on a Sunday morning, we hear lots of different messages, actually. Not contrasting, but different people speaking. So this morning, we've had Richard saying something. We've had Irma saying something. We've had Caroline saying something. We've had the Bible read. And we've had the worship time. And maybe something else. So each testimony is an input, isn't it? So when we listen to what Irma said, when we listen to what Caroline said, those are things that input into us on a Sunday morning. It's not just me preaching here, but there's lots of different things. Maybe you pick up your newsflash and you read your newsflash before you start, or maybe you'll take it home and read it when you get home. And that is another bit of input into teaching into our lives. And if I look back to last week, I can think of maybe four. I can think of four different things. We had Ian spoke, didn't he? Annette shared. Caroline shared. Can Caroline remember her sharing? She can't probably, but actually it's a news flash as her sharing. And I shared something. And if I look, I'm going to look at some of the Proverbs. I thought, well, what I'd look at is the Proverbs in the Bible and perhaps how they connect up with some of the things that were said, and not necessarily just from Proverbs, but sayings and little bits in the Bible. Some things come out of Psalms, and we often use Psalms, and we use a lot of the New Testament, don't we? But Proverbs is quite, and perhaps one of the things I'd be encouraging us all to do, well, not all of us, but at some point, have a go at reading through Proverbs. So there's 31 chapters, right, if you haven't read it. And you can start off with, you know, just do one chapter a day. And it starts, "The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel." And that's how it starts. And it's Solomon, who's the Bible calls the wisest of men. So, and as I look at these Proverbs, which talk about mainly foolishness and wisdom, but I'm going to start with one that comes out of the Psalms. And this would be a good one to remember. The fool, I use this quite a lot. "The fool says in his heart, there is no God." The fool says in his heart, there is no God. So if you say, there is no God, puts you in the category of the foolish. See, that's in Psalms. And if you take that verse on board, think about it, we build our lives on verses like that. So many people build their lives on "there is no God." Every decision not every decision, but most of what they do in life is built on "there is no God." They might not realize it, but you build your life on, you either build your life on "there is God" or "there isn't." And all his life's decisions are based on that. And who becomes most important in that? Self. Because self becomes God. So self is all important. Self. There is no God, so I live for myself. And everything suits me because there is no God. But if there is a God, we have to live, we should live with God in our lives. Proverbs 9 verse 10. So I'm going to be reading loads of Proverbs this morning. So I hope it doesn't bore you, but I just come with me on these lots of Proverbs. These are just straight out of the Bible, some of these. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It crops up a few times. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. When it says fear, it's that understanding that there's God, that you live in accordance with him. It's not just, I believe in God. Like people say to me, oh, I believe in God, and it doesn't make any difference to their life. There's no fear of the Lord, is there? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Everyone's a sinner, but some people live with the belief there's no God, and others live with the belief that there is God, and it impacts us. So the fear of the Lord is just the start of wisdom. That's what it says, is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of his Holy One is understanding. Just an extra bit in there. And the first few chapters of Proverbs, and I found these really interesting, are just talking about wisdom and foolishness, but talks a lot about wisdom, what wisdom is. And wisdom is spoken of as a person, personified. And when I looked at it and read it, it made me think, it's talking of wisdom, but when I looked at it, I could see Jesus in it. It's like as if it was reading about Jesus. Also, it reminded me, could be talking about the Holy Spirit. So wisdom is God, if you see what I mean. If you read through wisdom, because it talks of a she this and she that, she this. So it's interesting. So wisdom is feminine. That's how the Bible portrays wisdom. So this wisdom, it says wisdom calls out. Wisdom is calling out. Wisdom calls out. It offers, come. Come listen to me. Come hear what I've got to say. That's what wisdom does. But it also says foolishness calls out. Foolishness calls out. Wisdom is calling out and foolishness is calling out. And it's when I read it, I'm thinking there's a choice in there. Do you follow wisdom or do you follow foolishness? Do you choose wisdom or do you choose foolishness? And so if you read it yourself, see what you think, because I find it really interesting reading through Proverbs. And folly is calling out to the same people that wisdom calls out to. And so I'd encourage you to have a go at reading through them all yourselves. Yes? Do whatever they like. Yes, that's exactly it. Puts a head in the sand. Exactly. That's right. They get rid of God. People don't want God because they can do whatever they like without being accountable to anyone. And the Bible brings that up in Proverbs, that there is accountability. And if you read through the Proverbs, you'll say, it does say, people think, you know, they'll get away with it, but they everyone will be answered to. Anyway, there will be, they do. I mean, a lot of what Proverbs is talking about is the here and now, but there is also the end time element to it. So there's a here and now, because wisdom benefits you now as well as for eternity. Wise choices now. And Ian spoke last week, let the King of Glory come in, let him dwell with you, and live in his presence. So, and I looked at, as I was looking through Proverbs, I've got Proverbs 3, verse 3, and I'll just read. Let love, this is what it says in Proverbs, which was written well before the time of Jesus, maybe 500-700 years before, I don't exactly know, but a long time before. Let love and faithfulness, and I put in brackets here, this is me, God, because God is love and faithfulness. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on your tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. You've all heard that one, haven't we? Well, hopefully. So let me say that one again, because there's one to hang on to. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Oh, that's a bit awkward, isn't it? I like to lean on my own understanding. Trust in God, that means. In all your ways, acknowledge him. In all that you do in life, bring God in. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will guide your path, or he will make your path straight. So if in all the ways of your life, bring God into your decision making. Bring God into your thoughts. Bring God into what you desire. Bring God into your destiny. Don't just live for yourself, but trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will guide your path or make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Yeah? That's a proverb. It's easy to be wise in our own eyes. There'll be lots of ones like that. You know, if you read through them, you know, it'll be saying things like, it's not good to be wise in your own eyes. It's better to be wise in someone else's. You know, that kind of thing. Annette talked of the loss of her grandmother last week. The influence that her grandmother had on her life. And as I thought about this, I mean, and you mentioned, don't let the sun go down while you're still angry, isn't it? It says, in your anger, do not sin. So if you sort of feed on anger, it'll cause you to sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry. See? And that's a good saying, a verse to remember. Because if you can sort the problem out while it's still daytime, or you could say while, you know, the sun's still up, or before you go to bed, because we can lie in bed festering on it, thinking it, chewing it over and over and over and over and over, and it making you more angry and more angry. So, and in a sense, what can you do about it? You know, don't let this, while you're still angry, don't let the sun go down while you're still angry. Well, you've either got to sort the problem out before you go to bed, or you've got to stay up the night, don't go to bed. You've got to solve it, or you've got to let it go. Yeah? Don't let it, don't chew it over. Chewing the problem can make things worse, because it leads to sin, is basically what it says, because it leads to sin. It's just a good verse. That was a good, that comes out of the New Testament, that one. I was trying to look from Proverbs, things like it. So, a man's wisdom gives him patience. It is to his glory to overlook an offence. See that? I put that one in to tie up with that one. See, so see, there's little proverbs that match up to a lot of these things. So, in Proverbs 19 verse 11, a man's wisdom gives him patience. So, a man's wisdom gives him patience. He's not impatient. I've got to do this now. A man's wisdom gives him patience. It is to his glory to overlook an offence. So someone's offended him. He doesn't fester on it. He goes to bed and he overlooks it. To his glory. That's what it says in Proverbs. And he's not, and that thing is not chewing away at him. And you think, well, how can he just let that go? Well, it's to his glory, it says. In other words, don't be easily angered. Which is, don't be easily angered. Where do we find that? In the list about love. Don't be easily angered. So it all ties together. These come out Proverbs. Don't be easily angered. Be able to overlook an offence. Yeah, you let it go whoosh, like that. Someone says something, you let it go. Don't think, oh, they said that to me. I'm going to bed now. I'm going to chew it over. How can I get them back? There's one about trying to seeking revenge. There's a proverb about seeking revenge, and I'm not going to read it. You've got to find it. Do not be quickly provoked in your spirit. Oh, this is Ecclesiastes. Sorry, this is the next book after Proverbs. I'm just starting Ecclesiastes. I haven't quite got to this. Ecclesiastes 7 verse 9, and it actually comes under the banner of wisdom. Yeah, wisdom. Wonder who wrote that, eh? Do not be quickly provoked in your spirit, for anger resides in the lap of fools. Yeah? How about that for a good one? Do not be quickly provoked in your spirit, for anger resides in the lap of fools. Do you want to be a fool? No, don't really want to be classed as a fool. So do not be quickly provoked in your spirit. And that again, love says, is not easily angered. Comes back to the same thing. So I was tying that in with what Annette was saying. And Proverbs 1 verse 8. And this is where, when Annette was saying, my grandmother had an influence on my life. And right now, hopefully, that's some of the things she said is bearing fruit. That you're listening to what she said. And then I thought, well, let me look at Proverbs 1 verse 8. Listen, my son. Well, you're not the son, but you know the same thing. Listen, my son, to your father's instruction and do not forsake your mother's teaching. They will be a garland to grace your head and a chain to adorn your neck. So the good teachings that your mum and dad give you, don't just throw them away and say, I can do it myself. Take those on board, and which is what, in a way, you've done with your grandmother. Then I'm looking at Caroline's thought for the week. So I'm going through all of what happened last week and picking out different proverbs that connect up. Because in a way, that's what, when we read these proverbs, they're for our lives. And what's being said, you can find proverbs that connect everything up. And Caroline's thought for the week last week, I've got it here. And she said, the last few weeks I have been on political overload in my brain. I have spent more time watching debates, question times, the news, than reading my Bible. And in spite of a 5-day fast on the Wi-Fi when I went to Cornwall, I am just as addicted to my iPad as ever. Tablet, phone, you put it in there, yeah? It's not just an iPad. It's not bashing iPads. It's saying about modern, you know, what we have, our phones, tablets, computers, whatever. The iPad has become a means of speaking electronically, and we can be much bolder than if we are speaking in person. So it's easy to get on the, send a message out. In some ways, it's better than speaking, as we can delete words, rethink and rephrase. But in other ways, it's worse, as we can react instantly out of a heightened emotions, anger and wrong perceptions. On top of that, with the text, you cannot hear the tone of voice or humor or sarcasm. So sometimes it's just a dead message. So you can react to it and it's just a bit of banter. You don't know it's banter, so then you react. Some subjects arouse great passion. In theory, we can put our iPads down and cool off before responding. But I'm not sure that happens very often. The Bible, the NIV Bible app said this, and it can be applied to social media and iPads, laptops, and phones. Someone once titled a sermon about the tongue. So in James, a book in James, it talks about the tongue and how dangerous it is. This little tongue can snap wedding bands, start wars, destroy reputations. On the other hand, when used for good, this little tongue can heal a broken spirit, restore relationships, and be used to praise God. And that's what was on your news flash last week. And you know what? I've got so many proverbs about the tongue, you wouldn't believe it. So I've got a whole chapter here, so hang in there. Let me just rattle through some of these. Proverbs 15. I could call it the proverbs about the tongue. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Yeah, a gentle answer. Now, we all might think, oh, well, I'm doing a gentle answer. Think about what you're doing, though. Because, just think about it. You'll have to look at today's thought for the week to to just think about. There's a time and a time. The tongue of the wise commend knowledge, but the mouth of the fool gushes folly. Yeah, these are nice little proverbs. Verse 4, that was 2, this is 4. The tongue that brings healing is a tree of life. The tree of life pops up a few times in Proverbs. It's called a tree of life. I thought, well, clump them all together and we get the tree of life. The tongue that brings healing is a tree of life, but a deceitful tongue crushes the spirit. There's another one. The lips of the wise spread knowledge, not so the heart of fools. Verse 14. The discerning heart seeks knowledge, but the mouth of a fool feeds on folly. 18. A hot-tempered man stirs up dissension. Ooh, they like to stir it up. Stir up trouble. Yeah, let's get a fight going. But a patient man calms a quarrel. Patience goes back to that other one, isn't it? You can see why they say patience is a virtue, because the patient one was willing to let things go. So a hot-tempered man stirs up dissension, but a patient man calms a quarrel. 23. A man finds joy in giving an apt reply. This is what we'll all think. Oh, that's me. I'm going to give an apt reply. And how good is a timely word? Yeah, so there are times to speak, but make sure you're doing it in the right way, because we'll all think we're doing an apt reply. Takes a bit of wisdom then. The heart of the righteous weighs its answers, but the mouth of the wicked gushes evil. Well, here's one that we all know, I think. Pride goes before destruction. A haughty or superior spirit before a fall. So what do we call that? Pride goes before a fall. Yeah, that is. That's chapter 16, verse 18. A perverse man stirs up dissension, and a gossip separates close friends. A gossip separates close friends. So gossip can be very destructive, because gossip can separate close friends. A wicked man listens to evil lips. A liar pays attention to a malicious tongue. Yeah? So how quick do we want to listen to a bit of malicious gossip? So it says here, a wicked man listens to evil lips. A liar pays attention to a malicious tongue. And this is something in a church we have to think about. Being able to separate when someone says something, whether you give it the same value as something else. So when someone says something and you think, hang on, is that equal to what that's there? Because some people can say things and that isn't as valid as that. A liar pays attention. A liar pays attention to a malicious tongue. So there could be an opposite of that. There are times when there is one, and I'm not sure where I didn't put it in there, where it seems to contradict, because it says to answer a fool, you put yourself at the same level as a fool, and not to answer them isn't helpful. Now that again, you'd have to use wisdom on when is the right time to get involved. I was saying to Caroline, sometimes we'd be out on the streets doing street pastors, and you'd get into a debate, a discussion, an argument. And sometimes there was a right time to continue with it. There was another time when it was right to lose the argument and win the battle. And I give you an example. I could be out there, and we could be arguing over something. Oh yeah, I'm going to win my argument. I'm going to win it. I'm going to battle with this person who's had a few beers. And I want to win this argument because I'm fighting for God. Or I could say, I don't really want to discuss. I can't discuss that at the moment because we're out on the town. We're looking out for people who are perhaps in need or need some help, and or broken glass, or are we going to sweep up in case someone cuts their feet? That has a much better impact on those people than if I fight with them, argue with them. So sometimes it's best to say, I'm not going to argue with you because I've got to go out and help people. And they'll go, wow, that's good. That's really good what you do. Or we'd have ended up arguing and we wouldn't have made any difference, wouldn't have made any ground. So there's a time and a time. And then, Dave, I talked about licking your plate, thinking that you're good enough to get to heaven by what you do. It's clean enough for me. I can eat off my licked plate, but no one else wants to eat off my licked plate, do they? And without the cleansing of Jesus, we are just like those licked plates. But in Proverbs 16, verse 25, it says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. There is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. So there's many people living their life thinking, I'm good enough for God, I'm doing the right thing, but they're missing what God has to say to them. And perhaps a last little thing at the end, really. So those are proverbs that I found just looking through, and there's loads of them. Challenge you to have a read through that we can use in life. Just a bit about wisdom and foolishness. Perhaps you could see, oh, I wonder whether I'm a bit on the foolish side or am I on the wise side? am I hot tempered? Am I giving to the poor? These kind of things. All different things crop up. But let me just finish with this. This could be embarrassing-ish for someone. This was sort of given to me once, and it was about Viv, really. That was it. It's about Viv. I'm going to read it. It's about Viv. Yeah? It will be you. That's why she's going to be embarrassed. A wife of noble character, who can find? Someone said this is like Viv, this is. A wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth, this is Proverbs 31, verse 10 onwards. Yeah, just to embarrass Viv. A wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She is like the merchant ships, bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it is still dark. She provides food for her family and portions for her servant girls. She considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her tasks. She sees that her trading is profitable, and her lamp does not go out at night. In her hand, she holds the distaff, whatever that is, and grasps the spindle with her fingers. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. When it snows, she has no fear for her household. In other words, she's prepared. For all of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes coverings for her bed. She is clothed in fine linen and purple. Her husband is respected at the city gate, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies the merchants with sashes. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue.
She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the reward she has earned, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. That's a lovely thing, isn't it?